Okay, so the fun continues.
He's
kind of putting everything in perspective. So we're we talked about properties of exponents, and we talked about polynomials, and so now we're taking these polynomials and we did some distributing, multiplying them, so FOIL, that kind of stuff. And now we're going to reverse the process, which is called factoring. And so one of the steps of factoring is pulling out the GCF, so identifying the GCF, the greatest common factor, and then factoring it out, and stuff's left behind when you factor out the GCF. So we ended up with, say, the GCF multiplying something, and that something is still in parentheses. And so now, today, we're going to learn how to actually factor what's remaining in there. And there's a couple of methods that we're going to use, and I'll talk about both of them. One of them is called the AC method, and we'll see why it's called the AC method. It's also called the master product rule, and it goes by different names. But and then the other one is trial and error. And so we'll learn the AC method first. And you can see the diagrams that we're going to be using up here to do the AC method. And once we're comfortable with the AC method, then we'll do a couple of problems, two or three problems, by trial and error. The advantage of trial and error is that if you know how to do it, it's really fast. So you'll run circles around the AC method if you do trial and error. For the easy problems. Now, for the harder problems, the AC method, that's my go-to, even on the harder problems. So that's kind of where we are, just summarizing. Now, tomorrow, this is Thursday, so tomorrow's Friday, we have a quiz. So be thinking about that. Be thinking about the fact that everything that we've learned this week will be on the quiz, and I spent a lot of time last night coming up with the quiz. Diane and I are, you know, tweaking the quiz kind of as we speak. And so, but it's going to have all those things on it that we talked about. The exponent properties, simplifying expressions that involve exponents, what is the polynomial, you know, the degree of the polynomial, the leading coefficient of the polynomial, those kinds of things. And then multiplying polynomials, multiplying binomials and trinomials, and using the distributive property, and then also the factoring. So the identifying the greatest common factor and removing the greatest common factor, and what we learned today. So what we learned today will also be on the quiz tomorrow, and you'll have homework that's due tomorrow. So, having said all that, so let's get into the AC method. So, some of you like puzzles. I personally am not a big fan of puzzles, but these are actually kind of interesting. So, you might wonder, well, why do we need this? Well, I'll get into that in a little bit. But let's just do this little puzzle. You've got two numbers. We've actually two examples. Let's do this example first, and then we'll do this example. So you've got two numbers. You've got 24 and you've got 11. And you see there's blanks on the left and the right here. And so the number on the top, you want these numbers here to multiply to give this top number. But at the same time, you want these numbers to add to get this number. So this is kind of a factoring exercise, because what are the factors of 24 that when you add them together will give you 11? Yeah, 8 and 3. Very good. So that's not so hard, right? Now somebody might say, well, how about 6 and 4? because 6 and 4 are also factors of 24, but they don't add together to get 11. Agreed? Or you might say, well, 12 and 2 are factors of 24, because 12 times 2 is 24, but 12 plus 2 won't give you 11. Okay, so, and then of course 24 times 1, that also, those numbers will multiply together to give 24, but you add them together, you don't get 11. Okay, and so we came up with 8 and 3. We can put the 8 here and the 3 here. It doesn't matter what order you put these in. You can put the 3 on the left and the 8 on the right, or the 8 on the left and the 3 on the right. At this point, it doesn't matter. In fact, it'll never matter, as long as you get the numbers right. Okay? That's not too bad, right? So now let's do this one. Now notice this top number here has a negative sign. It's a negative number. So one of these numbers is going to have to be negative. It could be the left number or the right number, but only one of them. They both cannot be negative because negative times negative is positive, and they both can't be positive because positive times positive is positive. So one of them is going to be negative and one of them is going to be positive. And then they have to add together somehow to give 6. So what do you think would be a good choice for this little puzzle? So if we ignore the minus sign for the moment, 9 and 3, 9 times 3 is 27. But if you want to get a negative, one of them is going to have to be negative and one is going to be positive. So what did you guys were saying? 9 and negative 3. That's good. So if I put the 9 here and the negative 3 here, so you check to make sure that these things really do multiply to give this. By the way, on the problems that we're going to be doing with the factoring problems, if you get this part wrong, you might be tempted to move forward and you might end up getting the whole problem wrong. So you got to, this is really where the meat of the problem is figuring out what these numbers are. So 9 times negative 3 is negative 27, and 9 plus negative 3 is 6, because that's the same as 9 minus 3. 9 minus 3 is 6. Okay? Questions about all that? Okay. So now we're going to be using this idea going forward. In fact, we're going to see this X, we're going to be drawing this X quite a bit on these problems. So it's just going to be the way we do the problems. Okay. Now, we're trying to factor something that is a quadratic. And I say that because it's a degree 2. AX squared plus BX plus C. Now, if you always want to make sure that you're pulling out the greatest common factor first. That's step number one. We're going to assume in these problems that the greatest common factor has been pulled out. So we're left with something that looks like this. Now, if we believe this is the form, AX squared plus BX plus C. Let's take a look at this particular problem, 6x squared plus 11x plus 3, what is A in this case? Okay, good. So I'll put a 6 here. What is B? 11. What is C? 3. Okay. Now, either write down what A, B, and C are, or at least identify them in your, you know, in your mind's eye. If you're looking at it, you can see, okay, this is an A, this is a B, this is a C. What we're really going to need is the A and the C. And the B too, because the B is... So the A times C is the number that goes here, and then the B is the number that goes here. So what is A times C? So 6 times 3 is 18, and B is 11. So when we make our X, we look at the problem. We say, okay, we're trying to factor 6x squared plus 11x plus 3. And at this point, we have no idea how to factor it. But if you follow this recipe, this procedure, then if it is factorable, you will be able to factor it. Okay, so now we do our little puzzle, our x puzzle. What multiplies together to give 18 but adds together to give 11? So 9 and 2? That sounds good. What about 6 and 3? That doesn't work. So 9, 2, and now they both of these can be positive, and it will add together to give 11. By the way, if both of these were negative somehow, negative 9, negative 2, that would multiply to give 18, but when you add them together, you do not get 11, right? Negative 9 plus negative 2 is negative 11, not positive 11. And in this case, we want a positive 11 here. Now, if this were negative 11, you know, then we'd have a negative sign here, and the negatives would work on this. Okay. Now, at this point in these notes, we're identifying the A and the AC, multiplying them together to get this number, and then recognizing what B is, putting it in the proper place in our X diagram, and then figuring out what these two numbers are. We're not quite ready yet to actually factor this. So let's go to the next page. Now this is where they're going to tell us what to do. So now this is the same problem. 6x squared. Let's see, what was it? Yeah, it's the same problem. So 6x squared plus 11x plus 3. They're asking us to copy down the same thing that we did before. So let me just write it down here, because otherwise I'm going to forget it. 6x squared plus 11x plus 3. And excuse me. And so what goes up here?
18.
What goes down here? 11. And then on the sides, 9 and 2. And it doesn't matter what order you write those numbers. Now sometimes I will pick an order because I'll be trying to make a point or something. And you'll see me mess around with that. Maybe I'll do it in a certain order. But don't think that you have to do it that way, because it'll always work no matter what order you choose. So now what we're going to do is we're going to put the 9 here, and we're going to put the 2 here. Now, we always do this puzzle first. We figure out what the AC is. We figure out what the B is. We figure out what these numbers are. We draw them into this X diagram, and then we copy them here. Now, you'll see me do this. They've already drawn it for you, but when we do some below, you'll see that how I do it. So basically what you're doing is you're copying down this 6X squared into this position. You're copying this 3 into this position, and then you're taking this 9, you're calling it 9x plus, and then 2x. And so you have two terms that involve x. You've got the 9x and the 2x, and guess what? They add together to give 11x, which is what we want here. And once you have it in this form, what are you going to do? What do you think? Factor by grouping. So the whole purpose of this, the X method and figuring out what these numbers are and then writing it in this form, is that you turn the problem from three terms, because it was three terms, right? 6x squared plus 11x plus 3. So it's a three-term polynomial, what we call a trinomial. We turn it into a four-term polynomial, which we can then factor by grouping. And if we've done everything up to this point correctly, then we will successfully factor this by grouping, And there's a statement somewhere, I think it's a little further down, but if you can do this, if it's successful, then you will succeed in factoring by grouping. So it's guaranteed to work. We're not going to prove that, but you know that's guaranteed to work. Okay, so factor the resulting four-term polynomial by grouping. So let me just recopy it here. So 6x squared plus 9x plus 2x plus 3. And I'm going to group these guys together and group these together. And so what can I pull out of the first? 3x. So what's left? 2x plus 3. Bring the plus down. Whatever this is, bring it down. If it's a plus, you bring it down. If it's a minus, you bring it down. And then, is there anything that we can factor out of the 2x plus 3? Nothing, normally, you would say, but to make this process work, you have to write that 1. That goes to 1. So we put a 1 here, and then 2x plus 3. And guess what? The 2x plus 3 here is the same as the 2x plus 3 here. And so now we can pull out the 2x plus 3 because it's a common factor to both of those terms. So we get 2x plus 3. Make sure you put parentheses around it. And then what's the next factor? 3x plus 1. And we have just successfully factored the 6x squared plus 11x plus 3. And just to reiterate the point, I'm going to go ahead and multiply this out. Now, normally you wouldn't multiply it out after you've already factored it, unless you're checking your work, and you should check your work. But so I'm going to multiply this. So it's 2x times 3x is 6x squared. 2x times 1 is plus 2x. 3 times 3x is plus 9x. And 3 times 1 is plus 3. And then we can combine these. So we get 6x squared plus 11x plus 3. And that's exactly what we started with here. So we have factored that polynomial. And what do we mean by factor? It means to take something that was adding terms together, so term plus term plus term, to something that's now factor times factor. And you might say, why do we want to factor? Well, it's going to allow us to do all sorts of great things. I always tell students, the factored form is the gold standard. If you can get a polynomial factored, there's a whole lot that you can do with it. And we'll see that in this course even later on. So factoring is going to be the next step that we use to solve other problems. Okay. Now, I'm really not a fan of this little bit of the notes here. I think what they're trying to do is get you to think about the sign. So if you got a positive number here and a positive number here, then what do these have to be? These also have to be plus and plus, right? Because minus plus minus always gives you a minus. And minus times minus will give you a plus, but minus times minus will never give you a plus if you add them. So these have to be plus here. Now, I wouldn't memorize any of this. Just reason it out when you need to. Here, now there's a couple of ways you can get plus, right? Plus times plus is plus. Minus times minus is plus. But if this is a minus, what do these have to be? This minus and minus. Because minus times minus will give you plus, but minus plus minus will give you minus. So this happens here. But now, I don't know what we're supposed to do here. I'm just, you know. If this is...
If the AC number is negative on the top, it doesn't matter what the bottom is. It's going to be one of these, a plus or a minus.
Well, yeah. So if this is minus, then one of these has to be minus. One of them is plus, and then this could be anything. So I guess I could write a plus and a minus, or minus and plus there. And then, now why is it any? Well, because if this minus is bigger than this plus, then you're going to get a negative. If this minus is smaller than this plus, then you're going to get a positive when you add them together. So, I don't know. I'm still not a fan of this. But anyway, it's there. You can fill it in and use it. Go home and meditate on it. Okay. Now we're going to work all the way through a problem. So we're being asked to factor these problems. And so what's the first step?
Figure out your A, B, and C.
And so what do we put here?
12.
So A times C, which is negative 12. Negative 12. Why is it negative?
-3.
Because there's a negative 3 here, so this, your C is negative 3, and your A is 4. So, maybe just this first time, A is equal to 4, B is equal to 4, C is equal to negative 3. And so, A times C, 4 times negative 3 is negative 12. What's your B? 4. Okay, so now what multiplies together to give negative 12 but adds together to give 4? Yeah, so 6 and 2 seem like good candidates. We've got to get the signs right. So positive 6, I'm going to put the positive 6 over here just to shake things up a little bit. So put a 6 over here, and then what here? Negative 2. So negative 2 times 6 is negative 12. And negative 2 plus 6 is positive 4. Because negative 2 plus 6 is the same as 6 minus 2. 6 minus 2 is 4. Okay, now what we're going to do, and I usually, you know, at first you can maybe draw an arrow here. And so I want to separate this. I want to give ourselves a little bit of space in the middle, because remember, we're going to have two terms in the middle. So we've got a 4x squared, and we've got a minus 3. So those terms survive. They stay the same. You just bring them down. And then we're going to do minus 2x and plus 6x. Now both of these are x terms. They've got an x in them. Now you might say, well, why did I put the minus 2x here and the plus 6x there? Complete accident. The good thing about this is now we've got a plus sign here, which makes the factoring by grouping a little bit easier. But if we had a minus sign there, that'd be okay too. And that would be if we reverse the order. Don't try to think about which order to put them in, because that's just too much load on your brain at this point. Okay, now we're going to... we're factoring by grouping. So, what do we factor out from the first group? 2x times, and then what's left over? 2x minus 1. Is that right? And then bring down the plus from here, and what can I bring out? So, bring out a 3. And what's left over? 2x minus 1. And we see that, indeed, we have a 2x minus 1 here, a 2x minus 1 here, which means our factoring by grouping is going to be successful. So bring out the 2x minus 1, put it in parentheses, left parenthesis here, what goes next? The 2x plus 3. So 2x plus 3. And now after a while, you know, this here is a good sign. You know, after you've done this for a while, if and you get a little lazy like me, you won't check your work. But what happens on an exam? What if you make a mistake? Well, that could be serious because, you know, you don't want to go so fast that you're finishing in half an hour and running out of here and all of your factoring is wrong. So what do you want to do?
Multiply
it out. It doesn't take that long. It takes about 27 seconds or something like that. So 2x times 2x is 4x squared plus 6x minus 2x minus 3 equals 4x squared plus 4x minus 3. Done. So we verified that we factored it correctly. So you can reverse the process and verify that your factoring was correct. Okay? Easy, right? Sometimes these numbers, these little puzzles are going to be a little trickier, especially when the numbers get bigger. But that'll be the hard part. The rest of it will be easy. Okay. Next problem. So, A is what? 6. B is
-1.
Don't forget the minus signs on these. C is -12. So B is -1. What is A times C? -72. 6 times 12 is 72. And it's one of them is negative, so the result is -72. Now, what multiplies together to give you a -72 such that when you add them together you get -1? Yeah, so the first thing I always do, and some teachers say you got to figure out the sign first, but I disagree. I think that figure out the numbers first and then work the signs out. But that's just me. You can do it either way. So 9 times 8 is 72, and then there's hope, right? Because 9 and 8 are different by 1. And so maybe if you add, you make 1 a negative and add them, you can get the negative 1 that you need. So you want one of them to be negative and one of them to be positive, and you want the bigger one to be negative because you want them to add together to give you a negative. So negative 9 times positive 8 is negative 72. When you multiply them and when you add them, negative 9 plus 8 is negative 1. Okay? So now we bring down these numbers. So 6x squared. By the way, you don't have to draw the arrows. I do that to remind myself that I'm going to need some, you know, I want to space this out a little bit and put this first term over here. I didn't draw the square yet, but put this over here, put this over here, give myself some space so we can put those two terms in there, and then we can factor by grouping. If you just bring them straight down, what happens? Now you're, you know, trying to squeeze those terms in there, and it's not neat, and then you're more likely to make a mistake. So space them out a little bit. So 6x squared, and then in minus 12 here. And now we're going to put the minus 9. And actually, you know, just to mess things up a little bit, I'm going to put the plus 8 here. So plus 8x and then minus 9x. So I want to get some practice with those minus signs. So, do you see that's okay? So I got an 8x here and a minus 9x here. So those are the two terms that we stick in the middle there. And now we're going to factor this by grouping. So how do we factor the first group? Pull out what? Yeah, I think 2 is the greatest common factor of the numbers, and then x. So 2x times what? 3x plus 4 minus, so we're bringing down this minus sign. What can we factor out of the 9x and the 12? Yeah, 3, I think, is the biggest one. So put 3 there. Now, left parenthesis, what's going to go here? 3x, because negative 3 times positive 3x is negative 9x. And then what has to go here? Plus, even though this is a minus, this has to become a plus because this is a minus, and when you distribute a minus, minus times plus gives you minus. So what do we put here? 4. Okay. And notice, hallelujah, 3x plus 4, 3x plus 4. Looks like we're on the right track. So now I'm going to bring out the 3x plus 4, 3x plus 4 in parentheses. Times, so left parenthesis here, what? 2x minus 3. And now later we'll, you know, emphasize the fact that we need to check to make sure that each one of these has no common factors or that they can't be further factored. But that is true here. They're fully factored. So now what's the next step? Just to be safe.
Check your answer.
Multiply it out. So I get 3x times 2x is 6x squared minus 9x plus 8x, because 4 times 2x, and then minus 12, and when we simplify we get 6x squared minus x minus 12, and that's exactly what we started with. Hiding it from you guys. Okay? How we doing? You guys okay? Easy? Oop. Okay, so now let's go to the next page. So now they're not even drawing the X for us. So we have to remember what we're doing. So we're going to use the AC method. And I just draw my X there. You know, somewhere that's kind of out of the way. You can do your factoring by grouping over here once you have your numbers from the X puzzle. So what do we write up here? What's A times C?
Negative
30. What's down here? 13. Okay. So what multiplies together to give negative 30 and adds together to give 13? Yeah, I would say... now, 3 and 10, but what about the signs?
15 and 2.
Yeah, if you go, so let's say negative 10 and negative 3, that would give you negative 13, and it would give you positive 30. So that's not where we want to go with this. But what's another way to factor 30? 15 and 2, and if you make the 2 negative, so positive 15 and negative 2. So 15 and negative 2. Now, if you want, you can write these numbers out to the side and you know, just kind of like try different combinations. You don't have to do all this in your head. And if you need a calculator, go ahead and use the calculator. You know, punch those numbers in there. Make sure you're getting the right answer. It's more important that you be right than that you be fast or that you be cool, right? Because actually being right is cool too. So let's make sure we're right here. So 15 times negative 2 is negative 30. 15 plus negative 2 is 13, because 15 minus 2 is 13. Okay? Because in many cases, I think this is going to be the hard part. Once you have this figured out correctly, then the rest of this is just, you go into robot mode and do the factoring by grouping. Okay, so now I'm not going to draw the arrows this time. I'm just going to write 6x squared, and then my minus 5 out here somewhere, and plus 15x minus 2x. See how I did that? I spaced it out enough so that I could comfortably fit those two terms in there. And by the way, you know, I make a big deal about writing it neatly, and even though I don't have the best penmanship in the world, you see that these are spaced nicely so that it makes it possible to carefully and correctly do the next step. So we're going to group these. And so what do I want to factor out from the first group? Is it just x?
3x.
Okay, good. I think 3x is a good choice. So 3x times what?
2x
plus 5. And then minus 1. And then left parenthesis, what? 2x plus 5. Now I know this is going to have to be a plus, because there's a minus here, and minus times plus is minus. We started with a minus here, this becomes a plus. And if you didn't have the 1, well, it would be correct, but I'm worried about the next step, which would be you might leave out the 1 in the factor, the remaining factor. So we have a 2x plus 5 here, a 2x plus 5 here. You should always check that. Make sure that what you end up with in parentheses here and here are the same when you're doing factoring by grouping, because if they're not the same, it's either not possible to factor it or you've made a mistake somewhere. If this was correct, then you're guaranteed to be able to factor by grouping. So you have to, if this is correct and these numbers don't agree, or these binomials don't agree, then you've got to go back and find your mistake somewhere. Okay, so next step, pull out the 2x plus 5. So you get 2x plus 5. Write that in parentheses. So times what? 3x minus 1. Okay. And we could multiply that out, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be correct. If you're, maybe as an exercise, you can go ahead and multiply that out. Okay, let's do the next one. What goes up here? Positive 30. Down here, negative 13. What goes here? Negative 10. Negative 3. Now notice these two examples. Oops. Okay. See, these examples are very similar. 6x squared plus 13x minus 5. 6x squared minus 13x plus 5. So they just switched the signs in the problem. And, of course, I'm not showing you everything. Here, we had a negative 30 up here, we have a positive 30 here. We had a positive 13 here, we have a negative 13 here. So these numbers are radically different in order to make this puzzle work out. If you're in a little bit of a hurry and you don't recognize that these problems are different, if you mess up the sign like we, you know, tried to do up here, you're going to get the wrong answer. And so, just be careful. So, now let's factor this by, let's write in the two terms and factor by grouping. So, 6x squared plus 5 out here, and then minus 10x minus 3x. So, when we combine these, we get to minus 13x, which is good. And now we're going to factor these by grouping. And by the way, you don't have to draw the curly braces either. I'm doing that just to help you guys see what we're factoring here. So what do we factor out of the first group? How much? Say it louder. 2x. And what's left over? 3x minus 5 minus 1. I see a 3 and a 5 here. 3x and a 5. And there's a plus here, but I've got a minus that I'm factoring out. So I'm going to put minus 1 and then a left parenthesis. And then what? 3x minus 5. And we need that minus sign here because negative times negative is positive. And I know I keep beating that like a dead horse. And I respect horses. Diane really respects horses. But, you know, I want to make sure that we always get these signs right. Because this is, for me, this is a look both ways moment. We cannot just blindly fly through this and expect to get it right. We've got to be a little careful with those minus signs. You might say, well, you're a math teacher, you don't have to worry about stuff like that. No, I absolutely have to worry about it because I'm just a normal person like you guys. Believe it or not, yes, normal, well, okay, I'm weird. But this stuff it's not automatic. It's not automatic for anybody. So think about it. Now we bring out the 3x minus 5, so we get 3x minus 5 in parentheses times 2x minus 1, and that should be correct. Now, by the way, I want to mention at this point that if we had switched and put the minus 3x here and the minus 10x here, we would get the same answer, but it'd be reversed. We'd be pulling out a 2x minus 1, and then the second factor would be 3x minus 5. The answer doesn't change, just the order of the factors changes, but it's the same, exactly the same answer. Okay. Now, they're going to tell us a little bit about what we call prime polynomials. What prime means is that you can't factor it. Prime numbers, like, what's a prime number? 13 is a prime number. What are the factors of 13? 1 and 13. So you're always going to have those factors, the number 1 and the thing itself. So 1 times the thing is equal to the thing. And that's going to be true for polynomials as well. But that's a very uninteresting factorization for us. We don't want just, oh, I could factor it 1 and then the thing. That's nothing. Anybody could do that. Well, it so happens that there are some polynomials that are that cannot be factored except as primes, 1 and itself. And now I forget which is which. One of these is prime, the other one is not.
So let's go through and see what happens. So make my little X here. And what is the AC?
Negative
24. The B is negative 2. And so what can we multiply together to give the negative 24 and add together to give negative 2? So 6 and 4 somehow. So negative 6, positive 4. Negative 6, positive 4. Is that correct? Let's again, this is one of those places where, you know, I write down an answer and I come back and I do double take, make sure that it's right. The biggest mistake that I see students make is you write down the answer and you're like, I know I'm right. And you're wrong. Right? So don't make that mistake. You write it down and then you do a double take. You go back and you look at it to make sure that it's correct. Because it's isn't it a little embarrassing to write something down, think you're right, and then get points taken off because it's not right. So just give it the double take. So negative 6 times positive 4 gives you negative 24. So that's correct. Negative 6 plus 4 is negative 2. That's correct. So now we can pull this down. So 3x squared, put the minus 8 out here, and then we'll say negative 6x plus 4x. Don't forget these x's too, because you don't just put negative 6 and plus 4. You have to include the x's, otherwise it's not going to work. So now we factor from the first group, what do we get? 3x times x minus 2 plus, and then what can we bring out from the 4x minus 8? A 2 or 4? Okay, good. So 4, and then what? X minus 2. And so, and check, I would check my work at this point, especially both of these. So plus 4 times x is plus 4x. Plus 4 times minus 2 is minus 8. Okay, so now bring out the x minus 2. So x minus 2 times what? 3x plus 4. Okay, so that one is not prime. This one can be factored. Now, maybe they're going to make a liar out of me, and maybe this one can be factored too. I don't know. Let's find out. Okay, so we'll make our x, and what do I write up here? Positive 24, and down here, negative 2. And how do we do that? Well, this is positive, so we can either do positive times positive, but that can't give us a negative. Or we can do a positive times negative times a negative. That might give us a negative 2. What would it have to be? Doesn't work. I mean, if this number were bigger, maybe it would work, right? So negative times negative is positive, but negative plus negative should be negative. The only way you're going to get negative plus negative equal negative 2 is if you have, like, negative 1 plus negative 1. And that's not going to work, because that's not going to give you a positive 24. So, blah. What should we write? Prime. Okay, so it's...
I'm not sure what Maricek's going to do or Rockwell's going to do in that situation, just so you know. Sometimes they write the word prime, and sometimes they just write the problem over again. They just rewrite the problem, but nothing underneath it. Because it doesn't do anything.
It seems silly, but yeah.
Yeah. So it says factor, and it's prime. It doesn't factor, so they just have an answer.
But we want you to tell us.
You want the word prime?
I want the word prime. Okay. Yeah, because otherwise, you know.
My lecture on prime in 30 seconds or less. Prime is quite rare. maybe one out of 20 problems. Prime is not, I'm tired of trying, so I'm going to write prime. I've given lots of tests where it's like, prime, prime, do a couple, prime, do a couple, prime, prime, because they couldn't figure out the combination that works. It's usually quite rare and quite obvious. It's not because you're tired of trying. You might see one on a quiz, one on a test. So don't write prime just because you're
should
tired.
Should we tell them that we're going to have a prime on the quiz?
One.
Yeah. Out of all the problems,
there'll be one prime.
There's going to be one prime.
Because it's not common. Because we're teaching out faster, but you need to know something.
Well, and we want to reward you for finding the prime, too. It's like a little treasure hunt.
You know? Yes.
You get the metal detector out there, and I'm looking for prime. Right? Okay.
On the initial draft, nobody was prime, so I'm making a note that
uh-oh.
Prime. So that we actually have one.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that's that page. Ah, fun times. So this is, we're going to talk about trial and error. What Diane and I have done, and I think we agree on this, we're only going to do trial and error if the coefficient on the x squared is a 1. Right?
Can I talk amongst yourselves for a second?
Okay.
So, I would not even call anything trial and error. If you do the AC method where A equals 1, then these are the numbers.
Yeah.
That just go into factors, like the X and the X.
Yeah, but the misleading thing here is that you then have to go through the process of grouping.
I know, but if doing so makes them all get their... You don't have to do grouping. These are just the answers at that point. They can go right into the factors.
But that's only true because the coefficient on the x squared is 1.
Yeah, is that what you're teaching right now?
Yeah.
Are you going to teach this, like, x then?
I wasn't going to do that. Well, I could. But
yeah, do that.
But they need to be clear on that it's a different method because they're not going to do grouping.
This is true. But I'm going to tell you, from tutoring over there, all these kids, everyone's going to go in the AC method and they're going to get it right. It takes a little longer, but they're going to get it right. Even the ones where A is 1. I know it bugs me, too. But, like, I try to get them to just go, well, these are the answers. And I would have started with this one. Like, these answers where A is 1. These, if this is, like, 12, and this is 7, so this is 4 and 3, then you just get X plus 4, X plus 3. Like, they just go into there, into the answers. It just helps them find it. And not call it as completely different.
But I want to, the only, I agree with you. The only thing is, those who can do it, I'd rather they not get stuck with the,
okay,
the grouping, which is slower.
It's slower.
But I agree with
the
X method is a good way of representing the numbers. Okay. Okay, we've had our powwow, and now I think we know what we're going to do. So, whenever you have a coefficient of a 1 on the x squared, you can treat it a little differently. You still want to start out and make your x, okay? And in this case, you've got a 1 here and a 24 here, so what's going to go up here? 24. And you still have your 11 here, so 11 goes down here. And you still want to solve the puzzle. So at this point, nothing is different. Okay, so how would we do this? We did this problem before, or something that looked had these same numbers, didn't we?
8 and 3.
Now is where the magical shortcut comes in.
The magical shortcut, okay? If this is a... Why is there a dot there?
You touched it.
Did I touch it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, there's supposed to be a ghost 1 coefficient there. So if you've got if there's no explicit coefficient, if it's just a 1, then you do this, but now your answer is... Done.
Oh, it's
So it's always the magical shortcut when A is 1 is always going to start like this. Like you can just go right to that point, like the answer point, where the X and X or Y, Y, Z, Z, whatever the variable is, right? And then these two numbers go in those spots right there.
Yeah.
Yes. Without having to do that whole grouping, like the four terms grouping, you can go right to the answer.
This is how I normally write it. I would just put parentheses and put an X and an X. And then.
Yeah, when it's a 1 out in front. Yeah. You've got a really quick shortcut.
We didn't have to do grouping. See, that's the key. Now, some of you, if you don't recognize it, if you don't notice that there's a 1 there, go ahead and do the grouping and everything. It'll still work out.
It'll take you an extra 30, 45 seconds per problem, but you'll still get the same answer.
You'll still get the same answer. It'll still be right. Grouping's not a bad thing. It's just when you don't have to do the grouping, it's a little slower. And you know, I still have hope that some of you might want to go on in math. And so I want to show you at least a little bit.
Okay. So, is this the shortcut type? Is A1?
Yes.
Yeah. See if you can do it.
Yeah, this is a student activity. Without grouping, draw the X. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. In fact, there's a couple.
So you get it really quick. Because you don't have to go through the whole 4 times grouping.
All the classic ones. The ones that we can memorize.
Minus seven plus,
yeah. Ah, okay. Slick. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, see how quick it is if you don't have to go through the whole AC process or the grouping process.
Let's follow what the X and Y sound.
So when we see this, we pretty quickly just go. Now, Dave and I do it enough that legit we can do it in our head. But for y'all, like, oh, it's 12 up here, and I need two numbers that multiply to be 12 and add to be 7. Oh, 4 and 3. So 4 and 3. So that means it's going to be X plus 4. And then X plus 3. It doesn't matter which order these two factors appear as long as they're both there in your answer. Did you get that quite quickly? Right?
Now, don't confuse this with the AC method and forget if the coefficient is not 1, you still have to do the whole grouping thing.
Yes. But we're going to do several 1s in a row. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you out a worksheet where it says A is 1. So you get to practice 10 of these in a row because it's best if you practice a set number of the same type. And so I'm going to give, if you want extra practice, I've got it on that. So this one, what do I write up top? What's in the upper position? Negative 20. Two numbers that multiply to be negative 20 and add to be 1. What are they? 5 and 4, but I got to get the signs right. So negative 5, positive 4. I usually put the plus sign there. I noticed that he doesn't. I didn't do.
That's wrong.
Oh. Well, I was going to check it. Because they don't add up to be 1.
I was going
to
say, you know, I could not do this without Diane.
Positive 5 and negative 4, yeah. And so you can quickly go to the answers with the AC method. With the A is 1, it just kind of looks like this. And the answers are staring at you right there, X plus 5, X minus 4. See how this is your bread and butter. If you can get quick at these, you know, there's a certain number of these, there's a certain number of AC problems, okay? So you ready for the culmination problem of the day? Let's see if they can do it.
You do it.
So I would love to do it. Okay, that thing has a cumulative nature, meaning you need to remember everything you learned yesterday to do like today's work, right? So I know what I'm supposed to factor. I have this whole scheme in my head of what I'm going to do. Number 1,
Are they descending by degree? Are they in order? Yes. Number two, is there a number that comes out of everybody? Yes. What is it? So always take out the GCF when you can at the very beginning is kind of my advice to you. So two comes out, and then you got to figure out what's left over from each of the terms, right? And we're pretty good at that. You worked on that last night. Everyone got that right. So x squared, negative 8 divided by 2 is negative 4x. And negative 42 divided by 2 is negative 21. So very quickly, we got to that problem right there. Are we done?
No.
Maybe yesterday we were, but now we are not done. Because now you've got to check this trinomial right here and see if it goes any further. This 2 that we pulled out just keeps coming down to be part of the final answer, but we're done with it at the moment. That 2 that we took out, don't drop it. It comes down as part of your answer. But now I need to work on this guy right here. Is this coefficient 1? Yes. So I remember we just talked about when his coefficient is 1, it's automatically going to look like this, right? X and X. But I need to figure out what these two numbers are right here. So to help me or us organize, we can make the little x. What number goes in the top? Negative 21. What number goes in the bottom? Negative 4. So you're looking for a pair of numbers that multiplies to be negative 21 and adds to be negative 4. Some version of 7 and 3, right? But you need it to be negative 4, so the 7 needs to be the negative 1. So negative 7 and positive 3. Like I said, he doesn't put the plus in there. I do, just because it helps me. Because now those are the answers. So minus 7, minus 3. So when we look at your answers, all we're checking to see is, do you have these three factors? Do you have a 2 out front? Do you have these in whichever order you want? And you did it.
And that they've shown some work.
And that you've shown some work, yeah. Although, we have some bright bunnies in this class that probably could just look at this and do that. But without making that X over there, yeah, especially once you get in the groove and you've done like 20 of them and you're just like, oh yeah, I know it's going to be negative 7 and 3. So we could get to that.
Yeah, because you're doing this in your head.
You're doing that part in their head.
We don't have to jump the test on the first
one. Not if your answer's right.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable with it, you know, being the whiz, then absolutely write this all out.
Okay.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. So one more thing. I know you all took Algebra 1 in high school, or most of you took Algebra 1 or Algebra 2. Factoring is a huge part of it. And so there's several different methods that you could have been taught to factor. We're teaching just one of them, not four of them. So if you came out of high school and you know some method that looks like this, does that look familiar to anybody where you do that? There's a method where you learn where you make that symbol and you fill stuff in.
There's a box.
Or there's a box method where you do something with the box. And I noticed that, I forget who it was, but somebody, when they were multiplying, foiling, they used the box method because that's what they learned in high school. If you learn a different method and you are getting the answer right, you're welcome to stick with it. We are teaching you that if you never got it before, just a good rock-solid method to learn how to factor. It's not the quickest, it's not the prettiest, it's not the most efficient, but with the bulk of people, and hopefully y'all, this is your, you know, for most of you, I know this is your last math class, and in 9 weeks you're done, basically, it's going to get you through the next 9 weeks. I can do, you know, this whole grouping thing, and I can get the right factors, because that's the most critical thing. We don't time you for the most part. You have pretty ample amount of time to get stuff done. So if you have your own way, by all means, you're welcome to do it your own way. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't. Does that look familiar to anybody? Did anybody do that one? I told people. Yeah, and if you like it, just stick with whatever you're good at. It frustrates people, and so we just stick with one way that works for the bulk of the class, and so that's kind of it, the method you taught today. Do I think that a lot of you are going to forget that this is a shortcut problem, and you're going to bring down x squared plus 5x plus, you know, minus 4x minus 20 and group it? Yeah, because I see it every semester. About half of you forget that this has that shortcut, and you're just getting that whole groove of doing the grouping thing, and you get the same answer, just a little extra time. And so that's why your like teammates getting it so much quicker than you, because they're using the actual shortcut.
Well, I want to mention, too, you're not writing down the negative 20 just because this is the negative 20. It's a one-time negative 20. It's still the AC method, but we're just getting there faster without having to do the grouping.
Yeah, because that number is the one there. These will automatically be your answers. So that's the whole grouping process. You like it? Yeah, you like it. I think factory is unraveling a puzzle, and if we just kind of didn't give you set way to do it, it's very frustrating because like I just don't get it. How you're unraveling, how are you set? Well, I'm getting it, I'm not. But when you have a set method,
a recipe,
a recipe to follow. As long as you know your times tables, and we don't make that number like 128 with a difference of 27 or something, and we're sitting there trying to figure it out. We're starting with quite small ones that are just common numbers at the end, 12, 21, 24, 36, that you wouldn't kind of recommend. Yeah?
Yeah, good.
Okay,
thank you.
Got one more I want you to do, or one more to do. I want you to do this one. X squared plus 10x plus 25.
That's. I think that's coming. Well, we can do that,
Is there more notes on it?
No.
Okay.
But next week, maybe.
Yeah, but that could come up today. Or that could come up tonight somewhere.
Okay.
Well, how do you feel about that? Is it the shortcutty kind? Is A1? Yes. So you're looking for two numbers that multiply to be 25 and add to be 10? What are they?
Five
and five, right? So plus five, plus five. And so we can go right to the answers, x and x. But they're the same answer, right? So you would end up with x plus five times another x plus five. We normally would not leave it sitting like that as your final answer when it's a repeated factor like that. How would you think you'd write it?
X plus five squared.
Yeah, x plus five quantity squared. So in case that comes up. Like that. Yeah, because it's the same. Okay, just wanted to, because, you know, it's hard for us to come with every single case that you're going to see, but that's quite frequent where you end up with something like that. They're equivalent, and we would not mark them wrong. That's the same as that. But we know y'all like to match answers in the back, so especially some of you more than others. What other weirdos can you think of?
Are we to the end of the notes? I think so.
Are you to the end of the notes? It's just practice. They got four problems to do.
Oh, that's right. Where'd they go? Here they are.
Give it a go. Remember the CCF. If you don't CCF on stuff like this, it's going to be wrong. It's not going to go anywhere if it's got a common factor. So that should be always in your brain first. Common factor could be a number, could be a variable, could be the combination of both.
But don't forget the GCF.
This is a pretty good test to see if you can do if you can do these problems. I have so many problems. Everything was good still on this, maybe just one of these, and the degree of the polynomial. Here's what I'm thinking about the factoring section. Maybe we should put in directions and group them with this factor out the GCF for the first quiz. The second quiz, they're all jumbled together. But like factor out the GCF. And here's one problem in the original number 24 is good. And then factor by grouping, and here's one problem, and your original problem 25 is good. And then just clump the trinomials together and make sure you throw one prime in. So we're actually giving the directions just on this first quiz.
Okay.
Instead of having them all jumbled.
Okay.
And then you jumble them for the next one, because that's a whole lecture in and of itself.
I agree.
Do you like that idea?
Yep.
So and we ended up with like a weird.
Oh, yeah.
That one out, because like we don't want to leave that.
Right.
So I would omit that one. That's why I threw a new one on top of it.
Okay.
A new group and I just wrote it back here. And this pulling out ended up being kind of redundant. Like,
right.
So I just threw a different GCF problem. It's a little more complicated or whatever. It's kind of messy, but you got the idea.
Yeah.
You think that's okay for
natural purposes?
Yeah. Well, I was just working it out to see what they came out to be.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And so I remember we ended up with that, and it sounded good.
Yeah, I would have. I was going to do this at home tonight.
And then it's like, that's pretty much the same problem, the leftovers prime with a 7 and a, you know what I mean?
Right.
do we want that twice, or do we want to catch it? You know what I mean? So that's my thoughts on that.
Thank you.
If you feel like it.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you guys still on the first one, number 10?
Oh, yeah.
You're done with number 10? Raise your hand if you're done with number 10. We're only two people. Well, I don't want to put... Oh, you're doing it right here. My bad. Okay.
Did I do that right? Oh, thank you.
Yes. And normally the thing you, the GCF is written.
Okay.
This is a mono. And if it does not need to be in parentheses. Oh. It's not wrong if it is. They will not put it in parentheses. Okay.
So, when it says to you,
it's not just asking you to identify it. It's asking you for October 2nd. So it should look like that.
Okay.
Just wrap it. We had three students who did this.
Just brought up, like, just stated what the GCF was, because that's how you started.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So they didn't put the leftover.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's factory.
A students today.
Yeah. Right, so, yeah.
Most people.
Literally following the directions. Actually.
When you get to the.
And I think literally it says all you have to ask is. Two.
I can't pull a B out if that one doesn't have a B. Right? That makes sense. -3 will be yeah. And I just put it back here. And
forget about that.
For a second, look at the big packet, because it's not only today's lecture, but Monday and Tuesday also. Just put it all in one. So I want you to turn to page, turn to where it says factor out the GCF. Put a star by that page, because that's the page y'all can do. If you need extra practice on just pulling out GCFs and identifying GCFs, there's 20 problems with the answers on the back. Most of you are probably beyond that now, but maybe just do every other one to make sure you're good at just taking out GCF. Then turn the page. There's a little practice of factoring by grouping. Every problem is a grouping, because it's got four terms, so if you want to just practice some grouping, there's 14 problems with the answers on the back. If you want to practice the shortcutty ones of what you learned today, where you just need the X but not the whole blown thing, A equals 1 on all of these. So you can just practice some of those. Okay? And then if you turn the page, I left like 26 of those because that's a pretty important skill. So the answers are on the next page. And then this last page is the full-blown X with the grouping, because the coefficients aren't going to be 1, it's 5 or 3. It's the first thing Dave did today. We did about 5 or 6 of them. But at least you're practicing a set quantity of the same type. And so there are 8 of those with the answers on the back. We didn't do the back page yet, so don't worry about it because you're doing it on Monday. So there's only certain ones that you're able to do, but you cannot practice factoring enough this weekend because it's going to impact everything from this point on. And it's just a skill that you have to repeatedly practice to get better and more accurate at it, I believe. And so that's why you got some extra practice. Just skip the front pages for a while and just practice a little bit. Even if you just did 3 from each page, maybe 4, it's better than what they're assigning you, because last night their homework was 5 problems. So, but you did really well overall.
Okay, so that's it.
Okay, so I didn't work any of these at all, but I was thinking maybe instead of 15, factoring to 10, and the rest of you.
Well, some of them are the same.
I know. I knew you got changed on your problem.
I was going to change.
But I just feel like but 10 good ones.
Well, we'll see. We'll have a better.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah. We did actually this thing. I don't know if it was you and me that did this right.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because, about it over here.
Of course, we made a time crunch thing, too.
So this is hour 20 days. That might work out fine. Let's reserve judgment until tomorrow.
Okay.
Did you ever do that? It's always so. The number was all up.